We now bring to these microphones David James. David and I will have a conversation focused on President Trump's executive order to pause immigration from 7 dangerous countries. It's not a ban, we'll talk about that, but it is a halt in immigration. A pause, as David has indicated in the introduction to our conversation today. David, we're going to have this conversation, but as we do, you're getting ready. In fact, after you finish talking with me, aren't you headed to the airport for another trip, this time to Uganda?
That's right. I'll be heading to Uganda for 2 weeks. I'll be there for the third time in as many years, teaching at the Word of Life Bible Institute, and I will be teaching God's Plan Through the Ages, which I'm up around 40 times teaching that course, teaching it 5 or 6 times a year now, and also Signs, Wonders, and the Charismatic Movement.
Well, I think you got that one course down pretty well. We appreciate your teaching ministry, and we praise the Lord for the opportunity to go to Uganda. We'll be praying for you. David, Christianity Today published an article this week by the magazine's editor in which he agrees with the outrage expressed by many this week across the political and religious spectrum concerning President Trump's executive order that put a temporary pause, and again we use that phrase, a temporary pause, on immigration from 7 different countries.
Well, that's right. To be honest, I find the article somewhat disturbing. He begins by quoting from Psalm 37, talking about not doing evil, trust in the Lord and do good, which is certainly good things to think about. But then his paragraph right after that, Mark Galley says, it nearly goes without saying that the sweeping, ill-planned, and draconian order about refugees, to use the psalmist's words, constitutes a wrong. Then he says that Christians should be dismayed by this executive order, and they should be thinking about it very carefully. He also looks to another book called Moral Man and Immoral Society by Reinhold Niebuhr, and he says that a nation is fundamentally self-centered, and it will do the cruelest things to protect and extend the national interest, from importing Africans to excluding the Chinese to interning the Japanese. So he looks to these things, which were radical steps, and of course bringing slaves to this country was a moral wrong, and then equates that to this temporary 90 to 120 day ban, depending on the situation, for immigrants from these dangerous countries.
Well, as we stand back and look at it, everybody's got to admit that this executive order has certainly become one of the most contentious and widely protested of any of the presidential decisions that I can remember.
Well, if you recall, right after President Trump was elected, and we discussed this during that week, and we made the observation that, you know, God tends to do things through major geopolitical events. Now, we're not suggesting that anything particular that God is doing, just that major geopolitical events are things that God has used throughout history, and certainly what is going on now is one of the most major geopolitical events of our lifetimes, and there are people who aren't happy about this, both in our country and around the world. So it's created quite a firestorm and somewhat of an unstable situation going forward.
You know, in our conversations together on the telephone this week, I know that you related to me, you've discussed this particular issue quite a bit on your Facebook page. I want to know, what has the reaction been like there? Has it reflected what we're seeing in the media and among some of the many politicians and protesters around the country?
Well, kind of a disclaimer, I would have to say that certainly my constituency and my circle of friends, actually I have about 1,600 friends on my Facebook page. It's a pretty big pool, but even with that, it's probably largely skewed toward conservatives and probably mostly born-again believers. So there's going to be a particular view, and it's interesting that despite what Mark Galley would have to say, that Christians should think about this, almost all of the responses that I've got have been overwhelmingly positive. I posted some commentary on this, why this was acceptable, perhaps necessary, and focusing on the fact that it's temporary and that it's a good step for the country overall, and most people have agreed with that. A couple of people have questioned a couple of things, a little bit of a challenge here and there, but nothing like what we're seeing in the media and broadly in the world.
You know, a great opportunity we have on on Facebook to interact with friends, Christians, enemies, etc. That's a great report. Well, watching the way this issue is being portrayed by so many, both in the church and in the world, there seems to be a false narrative that has sprung up that says President Trump's decision is, first of all, mean-spirited, unfair, un-American, anti-Muslim, and the list goes on and on.
Well, that's right. You know, let me just address a couple of those directly. One, this issue of it being mean-spirited, that comes from Chuck Schumer, as well as a couple of those other comments, Senator Chuck Schumer. For one thing, to say it's mean-spirited is certainly judging motives, and it doesn't get into all of the thinking and discussing that went on among Trump and his advisors and those in his cabinet and on his team. This was not a unilateral decision. And so this is judging the motives of a broad swath of people who look to me to be having the best interest of America and U.S. citizens and residents in this country alike, their best interest in mind. My question is concerning unfair. Is unfair to whom? Unfair to those who are trying to get into the country who don't have rights as Americans, or is it unfair to Americans and residents here? And I think that ultimately it is fair for us, given the crisis that we're in right now. And concerning it being un-American, well, it's actually designed to protect both American citizens, but also it's designed to create a safe haven for all immigrants and refugees, especially those who are already here in the country. And we know that there are bad actors who want to embed in this wave of immigration, immigrants and refugees, who would want to actually put to death those who are fleeing those countries. And as far as it being anti-Muslim, think about this. There are 1.6 billion Muslims in the world, representing 23% of the world's population, and there are approximately 50 Muslim-majority countries, and we're talking about just seven, which were not even outlined in this executive order, but come from the Obama administration when they were identified part of the visa waiver program as countries of concern. So it was actually the Obama administration recognizing that these are particularly dangerous countries. They didn't put a travel ban on this, but they alerted immigration authorities and the United States and our intelligence agencies to watch out for these countries.
You know, let me just put a little bit of an explanation point on what you've just said as it relates to anti-Muslim. You've got to look, there's no ban or no halt or pause for the Egyptians, 88 million Muslims. That's the largest Arab country in the world. What about Saudi Arabia? No hold on Saudi Arabians. That's where the headquarters for Islam is, Mecca and Medina. And the Wahhabis, now they are probably the most fierce of all radical Islamists. What about India, the largest population in the world of Muslim people? Well, just to put an explanation point on what you said, and I agree 100%. Beyond this false narrative, however, David, even among conservative politicians and commentators, the executive order has been criticized as being, well, kind of ill-conceived and or poorly executed.
Well, I don't think that either of us want to be characterized as cheerleaders for President Trump in terms of everything that he's ever done or ever said or what he will do in the future. And, of course, there are reasonable voices on the conservative side who have said, you know, this maybe it could have taken a little bit more time. Maybe a few more people could have been talked to about this, but he had a broad swath of advisors. Another thing is he's shown flexibility in recognizing that where there are weaknesses or shortcomings or where they didn't see certain things, that they're willing to make adjustments. For example, there is now a provision for green card holders. They were kind of caught in limbo. There is provision now that's been added for citizens of the United Kingdom. It's easy to play armchair quarterback and look at things and criticize things in hindsight, but I think that there is shown some wisdom going forward and a willingness to listen.
I guess, in my opinion, David, the most serious problem is the misuse of Scripture to argue that this executive order runs against the teachings that are found in the Bible. And we're seeing the internet, the social media, everybody, their blogs and everything else using Scripture totally out of context. Would you not agree?
Yeah, and I've seen several different things. I'll just mention a couple of them. One is a complete misuse and misapplication of Matthew 25. And the portion that's quoted from Matthew 25 is where a group of people who are standing before the Lord say, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger or take you in or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And he answers and says, well, as much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Well, and they're trying to apply that to social norms and governmental policy when actually it has no application of that whatsoever. This is a part of the Olivet Discourse where Jesus is talking specifically in this section about after the tribulation, after he returns, and this is the judgment of the Jewish nation, and specifically this is the sheep-goat judgment, which is judgment of the Gentile nations, and these standards that he talks about is that the nations will be judged based upon how they treated the nation of Israel and individual Jewish believers, specifically during the tribulation period. So this is criteria for judging the nations in relation to Israel and the Jewish people. So there's no direct application here at all. So it's ripping it completely out of context. Then another thing that's mentioned is going to the Old Testament. For example, Leviticus 19 says, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing amongst you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. Now, of course, this sets a principle that we're to care for others, but here's something we have to remember before we take the issue with ancient Israel too far. It was ancient Israel, not addressed to Gentile nations, and a very important point is that immigrants were required to assimilate into the Jewish culture. They were to adopt the religious views and the cultural practices of Israel, and those who were outright rebels against that, who refused to assimilate, they were either sent away or put to death, depending on what they did. So you've got to be careful about applying these because they become two-edged swords.
Well, I had a conversation via Facebook with a good friend, not mentioning any names, but he was using the scriptures you have just talked about. And I simply sent him a note. I didn't get involved in the argument. I simply said, brother, just make sure that you're using a consistent, absolute hermeneutic when you're interpreting these scriptures. So I think that's key, David. Thanks for bringing that up. One question that has been brought up by some is whether the executive order can be justified on moral grounds.
Well, here's the way I put this. One, we've seen what's happened in Europe. The front door was unlocked, a welcome sign was hung out, and for all who wanted to come in, and complete strangers were let into the living room, and nothing was known about them. And these are coming from places where the predominant ideology is to subjugate any and all who have a different worldview, including harassing them or even killing them, and we have to be careful about that. And it's not just those from those countries. There are other countries, for example, in South and Central America, who do something similar. I put it this way. I've done a lot of prison ministry, and I see this executive order something like a prison lockdown. When there are violent acts have been committed, there's a temporary shutdown in order to restore order, and then it can be opened back up so that even people like me can go in and minister to those who are in these situations. So it actually is going to ultimately, in the long run, create a safer situation.
So biblically, David, where do you think Christians should stand on the issue of the refugee crisis and immigration in general?
Well, I would say there are two fundamental principles we should keep in mind, both of them from Matthew, one from Matthew 22, I believe it is, where the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second is like itself, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. So we are to love our neighbors, and that means specifically those who are in the country. We are to be welcoming to those who need help, and so we can love our neighbors worldwide, but there's a second principle that Jesus articulated when he sent his disciples out into the world in Matthew chapter 10. He says, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so while you're applying these things, you need to be wise as serpents because we live in a dangerous world and we can't just stick our heads in the sand and not think about the protection of our own loved ones and those in this country so that we can genuinely be a safe haven where the gospel can be preached and the needy can be ministered to.
Well, I'm sure glad that you took a moment just before you took off for Uganda to have a conversation with me focused on what our issue was today. Very, very informative. Tell a friend, go to our website, prophecytoday.com, and re-listen or tell them to listen for the first time to this very important conversation. David, Journey's Mercies as you travel to Uganda. I hope we can connect while you're in Uganda next week.
Thank you very much.